Our gospel lesson comes from the Gospel of Matthew. This is chapter 26. I'm reading verse 26 through 30 from the New International Version. I invite you to read along in your bulletins or in your Bibles. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body." Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we ask that as this message is preached, that you would help us, Lord, to better understand this holy mystery we call communion, so that we could better receive your grace, Lord, and be your church. We ask this in the name of your Son. Amen. Well, on Tuesday morning Bible study, we were talking about communion, and I asked the group who was present just to share a word or two of what came to their mind when they thought of Holy Communion. And Pastor Jim Freshhauer was there, and he said, "It's about renewal, not routine." And as soon as he said that, I said to myself, "Now that's a sermon title. Renewal, not routine." Now, last week, as Tim told us, Pastor David taught on the sacrament of baptism, and today we're going to talk about the sacrament of Holy Communion. And I want you to know that I may use different terms for Holy Communion. I may say the Great Thanksgiving, I may say the Lord's Supper, or I even may say the Eucharist, okay? So if I say any of those, I'm talking about the same thing. So I'm wondering this morning, as you came into worship, what crossed your mind as you saw that table, as you saw that table set for Holy Communion. This week I've been thinking about that table, and I was remembering my grandmother's house for Thanksgiving. Her dining room table was set with those dishes that only came out for Thanksgiving and Christmas. I remember the table would be full of all kinds of special foods. It was a feast, and the whole house smelled just like heaven. There were relatives there that you seldom saw, and relatives you saw all the time. There was turkey and stuffing and cranberries and pie. And we would all be stuffed. And we would lay on the floor in the living room in front of the console TV and watch football until we could move again. It was a feast. It was family. It was a sense of belonging. It was our identity. It's things I think of when I was thinking of that table that is set before you today. Now, for some of us at different times in our faith journey, that table can make us feel a little uncomfortable. We might ask ourselves questions: will I come forward when it's time? Am I worthy? Do I really understand this mystery? They call it a holy mystery, and they aren't kidding, are they? Gee, I wonder if the service will run over today. Or maybe we see the table and we say, as Tim said, it's the first Sunday in the month. And as it is our custom here at Riverside, we celebrate communion on the first Sunday of the month. Now, the Greek word that was used in the early church for the word we use, sacrament, was the word mysterion, mysterion. And that's usually translated as mystery. This word indicates that through the sacraments, God discloses things that are beyond our human capacity to know through reason alone. It's a mystery. We know something's going on, but we can't always give word to it. And although we may not fully understand Holy Communion this side of heaven, we can better understand the Lord's Supper so that we can profit from it, so that we can benefit from it. You see, friends, it's a gift. It's a gift, this meal of bread and wine. It's a gift from Jesus. Now, I would tell you, over the history of the church, we've had our share of misunderstandings associated with communion. And in our first scripture that Tim read for us, that's a little bit of the backstory there. Paul is admonishing the church in Corinth for the way it was dishonoring the Lord's Supper. You see, my understanding is they had turned the sacrament into a feast. Now, I don't think that's such a bad idea on the surface, but let's go a little further and understand what was happening. You see, it would be as if we did this at Riverside and the people with the most means came the earliest, brought their own fine linen and tableware for just their tables, and ate all the best food before everybody else arrived. That's what I think was happening in Corinth. The people with the most means were coming early, and they were eating all of the food, and then those who had less means, those who were poor, came later, and most of the food was gone. And it's likely the poorest had to work later and couldn't come early to the feast. And so this full meal had become a sign of the social divisions that ran through the church, and Paul is rightfully displeased. Paul says earlier, he says, some of you go ahead and you have your own private supper, and as a result, one person goes hungry and another person gets drunk. You see, I think that pretty much sums up what Paul's talking about, taking communion in an unworthy manner, ignoring the needy, and indulging ourselves. You see, when Paul encourages us to examine ourselves when we come to the table, I think of that most important commandment Jesus told us about. Jesus told us to love God with all that we are and to love our neighbor as ourselves. And I think that's a heck of an examination because, friends, none of us can pass it. None of us can pass it. But hear this, friends. Passing that examination is not our invitation to the table. You see, it's when we admit our failures. It's when we admit our transgressions. He says, come, eat with me. Be part of God's family. Receive God's grace that your faith would be renewed, that your faith would be stirred up. John Wesley, who founded the Methodist movement in the 18th century, described the Lord's Supper as the grand channel whereby the grace of his Spirit is conveyed to the souls of all the children of God. A grand channel where God's grace is conveyed to us. Communion is one of the marks of the church, this body of believers. Paul said earlier in Corinthians, he said, is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation? He called it a participation. Another word for participation is a fellowship. Is not this a fellowship? He said, is not this a participation in the blood of Christ? And he says, and is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? He says, because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all share the one loaf. Friends, communion is a sharing. Now, I would tell you, and you probably already know this, that little bit of bread and that little bit of juice is not going to fill up your stomach. It's not meant to. It's meant to fill up your spirit. It's meant to fill up your spirit. John Wesley said, this is the food of our souls that gives us the strength to perform our Christian duty and grow in faith. Now, if there's a part of you, little part of you, a big part of you, that thinks you shouldn't take communion because you're a sinner, or because your faith is weak, or because you continue to do the things you know God doesn't want you to do, or you do the things you know that you don't want to do, friends, I would tell you that that's an indication of how much God wants you to come to this table. That's an indication of how much God wants you to come to this table. Because I want to ask you a question. Who did Jesus eat with in his ministry? When you read the New Testament, do you know who he ate with? He ate with sinners. That's right. He ate with sinners. And in the first century, eating with someone, eating together, was about as intimate as you could get without being married to them. But there's a rub, isn't there? There's always a little rub. When we eat with him, we must open our hearts to him and open our agendas to him. Because the Pharisees ate with him, even Judas ate with him for over 3 years. But you see, Judas and the Pharisees placed their agendas above Jesus. And I just read this the other day in a commentary, that Judas never referred to Jesus as Lord or as Messiah. He'd refer to him as rabbi or as teacher, but never as Lord. You see, friends, when we come to the table, we must open our hearts and open our agendas. So I want to turn to our gospel lesson. This is the story of the night that Jesus was betrayed, the night before he died for our sins. It's the time of the Passover celebration, and the Hebrew people, the Jews, had remembered the Passover since the time God had freed them from slavery. That was about 1600 BC. They'd been celebrating the Passover for almost 1600 years. And during this Passover meal, they would remember the blood of the Lamb. They would remember the blood of the Lamb that was shed and placed on the doorpost so that the angel of death would pass over them, sparing them from the final plague that would convince Pharaoh to let them go. They remembered Passover with bitter herbs to remind them of their captivity as slaves. And they remembered with unleavened bread that was made in haste as they quickly gathered up their belongings and fled Egypt. You see, God had set them free, and he would lead them to his promised land, to a home of their own. Eating is a sensory experience and a powerful reminder. In Holy Communion, we go beyond hearing the gospel, and we taste it. We taste it. The psalmist says in Psalm 34, he says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him." But on this night, Jesus would add to the Passover language. After 1600 years, he added language. He uses the bread, and pay attention to this. He uses the bread as a stunning illustration. He says, "Take and eat. This is my body." He's identifying himself with the Passover sacrifice. He's identifying himself with the Lamb. You see, in the Old Testament, it prescribed that the sacrifice, that the Lamb, should be consumed by those present. And so Jesus says, "Take and eat. This is my body. I'm the sacrifice. I'm the sacrifice for all time and for all sin." Continuing the symbolism, Jesus takes the cup. Likely it was the third of four cups during the meal. The third cup is known as the cup of redemption, and it corresponds to God's promise in the book of Exodus. This is Exodus chapter 6, where God says, "I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God." Jesus says, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. And so, friends, I would tell you that when we respond to this invitation to partake of his sacrificial death, we experience forgiveness of our sins. Can I hear an amen? And we experience the beginnings, just the beginnings, of the transformation into the image of Christ. Friends, this is a time of renewal. This is a table of renewal, not of routine. Finally, Jesus says he will not drink from the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you, in my Father's kingdom. So Jesus is pointing us to the hope that we have when he comes again. I think this is why Paul says, whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And anytime I think of the Lord's death, the resurrection is right there. We proclaim the Lord's death and resurrection until he comes. Now, I asked you to think about what went through your head as you saw the table set this morning and realized that we were going to celebrate the Lord's Supper this morning. And this week, Pastor Dave, we're looking at some things, and he showed me a little video that really helped me see this sacrament in everyday terms through the eyes of a young boy whose name is Michael. Now, I'm unable to show the video well in the sanctuary, so I'm going to narrate the story for you. Here's how it goes. It's his adult voice speaking. He says, it's called the Lord's Supper. Nobody eats supper anymore. It's always dinner. What's for dinner? Let's go out and eat dinner. You know who used to call it supper? My mom when I was a kid. I'd be out riding my bike in the neighborhood, and I would hear, Michael, supper! It was a sound I could hear from blocks away. So I'd head for the house, stash away my bike, and dash on in. I'd slam the front door and immediately be reminded not to do that. Go get washed up for supper, Michael. I went to the bathroom and I saw my dirty hands against the clean white porcelain sink. I could see what she meant. Those hands were dirty. Grease, mud, filth. And I liked it. But Mom didn't. So I scrubbed and I rinsed and I dried. I ran back to the kitchen where Mom wanted me to sit still and wait. I could have been watching TV or playing video games. Who wants to sit and watch someone make mashed potatoes? Although Mom and I did get a lot talked about in those 5 minutes. Sooner or later, the rest of the family showed up, and even though she was not quite done, she sat down so we could say the blessing. Dad's prayers were very real. We weren't just flying through some ritual before diving into the food. We were talking to God himself. So Dad would ask the Lord's blessing, and then he'd ask Mom to pass the fruit salad. We all finally got to eat, and it was worth the wait. Mom put everything she had into her cooking. You could taste it. Although it was surprising I could taste anything slamming down those huge mouthfuls to get to tonight's TV show. So I'd slow down a little, and then I chugged my juice and wiped my napkin across my face and gasp those all-important words, may I be excused, waiting expectantly to hear, yes, you may, and I'd be free. So that's what I think of when I think of the Lord's Supper. Someone who wants me to come home, to wash up and enjoy being clean more than I enjoy being dirty. Someone who wants me to sit just for a little while to think about my life, how much I'm loved. Some quiet, serious prayers. Passing plates so others can be filled too. Small bites and careful thinking. And those all important words, may I be excused. And the awesome resonance of the answer, yes. And being free. Let's pray. Oh Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for this holy meal we're about to share with our church family, those who are here today, Lord, and also those we remember, Lord, who are with you in heaven. We thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit, Lord, in the bread and the wine. We ask that you would nourish us with your grace and renew our faith as we remember you and rededicate ourselves to the needs of others equal to those of ourselves. Lord, words cannot express our gratitude for your blood that was poured out for the forgiveness of our sins. Thank you for freeing us from the penalty of those sins. We look forward to that time when you will drink from the cup again with us in your Father's kingdom. Amen.